Bruchim Abayim to the seventh and continuing series of Shiurim on the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the 13 principles of faith of the Rambam. We're up to the Yisrael HaMishi. The Yisrael HaMishi, I'll just read it inside. I'm reading once again from the Rabbi Shilat's edition. Yisrael HaMishi, the fifth principle of faith. Shehu Yis'ala Hu Haroi La'ob L'Gadloi. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's the person who is fit to be worshipped and to be praised. Ulafasam gedulosu umishmato, and to express this praise. Lo yasekein lemishu tachta b'mesias, but one cannot do this to anyone who is anything that exists other than lower than God. Min ha-malachim, one cannot praise and worship the malachim, the angels, va'kichavim, va'gagolim, of course the stars and the spheres. Ha-yisodis u'mashu hukam behem, the different elements. V'fishem kula mutbayim al pulosam. Right? Because they are completely determined by their actions. Ein shilton lahem, they don't have any authority. V'loy b'chira mi-bal-adei ratzonin yisale. And they don't have free will. The only living being that has free will is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One cannot use intermediaries in order to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela elav yis'ala yichuvnu ha-machshavos. All thought has to be directed only towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards God. Yunach ma yuzulasavu. One must abandon or dismiss or ignore anything other than God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh yisod ha-chamishi. This is the fifth principle. Was ha al-avodah zarah. This is the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. And most of the Torah is actually based upon this. Ah, very good. So, we have over here, this is the fifth principle. And I think before I actually go into the principle itself, I think it's worth it to actually comment about the order of the principles. Good luck. So, for example, it's interesting is that, of course, once again, let's go back over again. The Yisod HaRishon is the existence of God. That's the first principle. The Yisod HaSheni is God's unity, Yehuda Yisala. The third principle is Shlilas HaGashmish Menu. In other words, the rejection of anthropomorphism and incorporeality. Okay? So, it would make sense that the Yisod HaChamishi should be really right after the Yisod HaShlishi, because once we say that God cannot be physical in any way, so, in other words, once we deny anthropomorphism, and not only that too, in fact, after we've spoken about Yehuda, that one can actually describe God, right? Not one is incapable of, any type of positive attribute of God. So, it would come out that a consequence of this is that one cannot worship anything which is below God. In other words, by worshiping something below God, you're worshiping something which is corporal, something which can be described. And, in other words, that's a consequence of the Yisod HaSheni V'Hashlishi. But instead, the Rambam places Yisod HaRevi, the fourth principle, that's free will. We spoke about that last time. And after that comes Yisod HaChamishi, which is worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think the order, in other words, the basic question is that Yisod HaChamishi, which is Avodah Zarah idolatry, should really be classified together with Yisod HaSheni, Yisod HaShlishi. Right? Yisod HaSheni HaShlishi deal with God's incorporeality. The Rambam in the Chashuva says if a person thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a form, he's called a min. That's Avodah Zarah, it's idolatry. So therefore, Yisod HaChamishi, which is prayer to something other than God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should actually follow Yisod HaShlishi. You can put that here if you want. You can say that, but it's okay, it's fine. Okay, fine, anyway. So in other words, we need an explanation why the order of the principles in which they are. So I think the best explanation would be, is that, in other words, Yisod HaRishon and HaShlishi deal with God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They deal with God. How do we look at God? Yisod HaRevi, we spoke about God creating the world ex nihilo, but the way he explained it, Yisod HaRevi implies the free will of God, which in turn implies the free will of man. So really, Yisod HaRevi is the interface between God and man. In other words, so therefore, from Yisod HaRevi onwards, right? The principles of faith have to do with man, God, man's relationship to God. So therefore, the first relationship that man has to God is prayer. And that's Yisrael HaChamishi. After that, Yisrael HaShishi, Yisrael HaShvi are going to be Nevuah. Prophecy is certainly the relationship of God to man. And afterwards, the other Yisraelis, which is Yisrael HaShemini, which is Torah Ben HaShamayim, Yisrael HaChi is the attorney of the Torah, etc., etc. In other words, Yisrael HaVi sort of ends the principles which deal only with the nature of God, and begins the principles that deal with the relationship between man and God. So, therefore, that's why Yisrael HaChamishi comes after Yisrael HaRevi. I think that's the simplest explanation for the Rambam. Okay, now, we have over here, the Rambam says, one can only worship directly God. One cannot worship anything less than God. The Rambam has also told us, and you say the Sheni Shlishi, that one can, in fact, actually not make any positive attribute regarding God. One cannot assign any attribute to God. One cannot describe God. One cannot see what God isn't. Negative theology, we've spoken about this. The question is, how do you worship God? You certainly can't have a liturgy. You can't praise Him. Right? The Rambam says, Le'abdul Gadloi. That means to praise Him. To praise God means assigning positive attributes to God. But by definition, you can't praise God. Because God has no attributes. So the question is, how is prayer possible in the Rambam? I mean, consistent with the 13 principles. In other words, Yisrael HaChamishni just begs the question of, how do I relate to God? If God is unrelatable, by definition. So how do I relate to God? How can I pray? How can I be begadol Him? How can I praise Him? How can I worship Him? How can you have a liturgy of prayer? That's the question in the Rambam. And because of this, so therefore, it just begs the question is, how does the Rambam understand prayer? In other words, why is prayer in and of itself? I'm not speaking about praying to anything other than God. The question in the Rambam question is, how is prayer in and of itself, by definition, a violation of the first, the second, third principle of the negative theology? That's the question I want to ask. In other words, there has been some things that have been written on this. No one's really written something which I think is really both intelligent and both commensurable with what the Rambam actually has to say. And in addition to that, of course, people go on and speak about Chassidus, we're speaking about Kabbalah, we're speaking about angels and Malachim, but no one's really, you know, everybody assumes that everybody after the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam, but no one's really defined what the Rambam means by prayer. Certainly the Rambam understood there's something in the mitzvah called prayer. He lists prayer in the fifth mitzvah as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, and the Rambam devotes a good deal of the Mishnah Torah to Hilchos Tefillah. So what does Rambam understand by prayer? Okay, now, the question I want to raise is why is prayer not a violation of negative theology? Okay, now, the Rambam, let's go over again to some of the things we might have already said then. The Rambam, of course, has said that we cannot describe God by any positive attribute. Describe God by a positive attribute implies that we're assigning some type of corporeal reality to God. Okay? However, we have to describe God somehow. So the Rambam, in chapter 52 of section 1 of the guide, says that one can describe acts of God. And reading in Perek Nun Beis of Chelek Aleph from the Schwartz edition, page 123, there the Rambam says there's a fifth category of attributes. Akavutza Chamishis, this is on the last paragraph of page 123. Akavutza Chamishis. Shel ta'orim, chiyuvim, the fifth category of positive attributes, he shematarim dova b'masav. You describe something by its acts. Eni miskavim b'maseilim yumono shel ha'malacha, shebo she'omer hanaga. You know, we're not speaking about the person who's actually performing the act, like the carpenter or the glazier. Shekan elu mimin ha'eichas k'vishiskano. El k'vrozi b'maisav, l'maisa asher oise hu oise. The act that he does. For example, Reuben is the carpenter who is the one who carpeted the door. I don't know if that's a proper verb, but he made the door. Ubanes hachoy mazos, who built this wall. Ve'orak is a beged azeh, who wove this beged. all the zeshul ta'arim rochach mi'etzem miyuchas miyuchas. In other words, basically, the scriptures of this are far enough, afar from the subject matter, right? Everyone could praise God. In other words, the Rambam says it's possible to describe acts of God because scriptural acts of God are sufficiently removed from the subject, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's what the Rambam says. Okay? Now, what's interesting is that the Rambam, right, if this is true, so the question is, how do we deal with descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah? Okay? In other words, the Rambam, in other words, what we said over here is that God can be described by his acts. But we see the Torah, we have descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu other than his acts. So in Perek Nun Tes, in chapter 59, of section 1, right? Chapter 59, section 1, which is Perek Nun Tes of Chelek Aleph, in the Schwartz edition, page 149, last paragraph. The Rambam speaks about, descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, Rambam speaks about both descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah and also in the Tefillah, in the prayer, in the liturgy. Right? In other words, how do we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the liturgy? Certainly not describing his acts. Okay? His budding Eifu B'Rishayna B'ir Tzenu B'Sidon Sala Habis B'Torah. The Rambam first brings a in Gemara, it says you see that for the Gemara world, Lama Gil and Mabez and Brochais, that the Gemara, the Chazal, would not stress that people should not add too many adjectives to Kodesh Baruch Hu. One of the Baraim wanted to add more, Haneira, Ha'odja, Ha'chazak, Ha'yurev, Ha'ozos. It's a famous Gemara. And Chazal said, no, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not enough. His boyin Gabish Amma before She'ilu Ish'iro Yisrael and Ho'ok Al-Pisach Lena Greida. If we could just operate by our intellects, Lord, you know, we really wouldn't say any, use any predicates, any descriptions. Lord, you know, might seem be pinu davar mehem. We wouldn't even say anything. And the Rabbim Neisha hecha chayim lefanasis anashim b'mashi kana lehem musa kolshim. We have to give people an idea of a creator, like they said, dibra teira kolshim b'nei adam, because people somehow have to relate to God. The Talmud is like Bishleim Yoseim. They have to describe God by perfections. But therefore, we should only engage ourselves in such descriptions when we read the Torah. Now, ulam. So really, a person might read the Torah, and that's it. But you shouldn't really read anything which describes God. But what could you do? What about the prayer liturgy, the tefillah, nusach tefillah, which is certainly not supposedly the Torah? Ulam mekevet shabo gam anshi kesa gedolim. The anshi kesa came along, says the Rambam. I'm over it on page 40. Vehem neviim. The anshi kesa gedolim are neviim. The Gemara says it was neviim among them. But the Rambam is stressing is that the anshi kesa gedolim were neviim. Vetiknu shetei amalna. And they established that it should be said in the tefillah. Right? Hagodol agiwa v'anoyre v'tefillah. But that's all we say. In other words, it says the Rambam, prophecy is an exception. Prophecy is an exception. Therefore, descriptions of the Torah are certainly an exception. That's Tanakh's Moshe. Descriptions of the Vira are also Tanakh, too, that's an exception. And the liturgy of the praise is an exception because that constitutes prophecy. Okay, so even though the Rambam has told me that I cannot describe God, I can only describe his acts. But on the other hand, though, anything which emanates from prophecy, true prophecy, is an exception, and that includes the Nusach HaTfilah, the liturgy of the prayer, and specifically from the Anshin and Zagdoyla. After Anshin and Zagdoyla, a person cannot make up his own Nusach, according to the Rambam.
That's the end of prophecy.
That's the end of prophecy. Whatever.
It's referencing the fact that it just says Vehem Neviim. That's his.
That's it. Yeah, because he right Vehem Neviim.
You don't say that. That's what Pimut said. It's just
Vehem Neviim. That's it. That's it. Now, this is all very nice, but this is a pretty big exception. It blows away all negative theology. We'll make a big gaping hole of the Neviim, and that's it. However, what I want to do is I want to explain how does the Nevuah act according to the Rambam. How does the Nevuah act? So first of all, How does the Nevuah act? So the Rambam says in Perek Lamed Vav, right, the beginning of Perek Lamed Vav in of section 2, Chelek Sheni, chapter 36 of section 2, Perek Lamed Vav of Chelek Sheni. Once again, the Schwartz edition, I'm on page 384. Da, says the Rambam, take note of the fact, Shamisas Hanavua or Mahusa, the truth of the Vua, a prophecy, Mahusa, and its essence, he shefa, it's a flow, Hashefeya mina kel yisale, which flows from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, flows from God, yisale, he should be, right? Bemtzos hasech lapoya, and then, after that, it flows to the Koyach HaMedaber, first to a person. No, it's a flow, prophecy is a flow from God, and it flows first to a person's rational intellect, that's called the Koyach HaMedaber, his rational intellect, and after that, it'll flow to his Koyach HaMedaber, which is called his imaginative intellect. I think that's usually why it's the last part of the flow before it reaches man's intellect, that's called the Sechel HaPoel, it's called the active intellect. Okay. In other words, so therefore, that's a flow. Okay, now, what's interesting is, the Rambam says that, it doesn't really make that much of it there in prophecy, but it's interesting, he mentions this, actually, in chapter 12 of section 2, that's Perek Beis of Chelek Sheni, page 295 of the Schwartz edition. There, the Rambam is really not speaking about the Nevuah, prophecy. He's speaking about the creation of the world. There is a problem. If you say you cannot attribute any act to God, I mean, you can speak about God's acts, but you can't speak about an action of God. But God is acting on something. So what does it mean to say God created the world? I can speak about the creation, but how can I say God created the world? Bereshit Bara Elokim. How do I say God created the world? How do I say that God created the world? In fact, let's even go further. How could God create the world? Creation is a physical act? Good question. This bothers the Rambam, and he actually devotes himself to this in chapter 12 of section 2. Now, what's interesting is the theories of creation, which the Rambam puts forth, and we spoke about that last time, creation ex nihilo, eternity, begin in chapter 13. Then chapter 12, before the formal discussion of creation, Rambam addresses the question of how do we square the notion of God creating the world with negative theology? So the Rambam gives a very interesting answer. Rambam says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks a thought, and this produces a shefa, a flow of thoughts. And he compares it to a mayan, a spring, that like sort of like the water bubbles up, and that the thoughts of God, God begins thoughts, and these thoughts somehow bubble up and overflow. Okay? That's called a shefa. Page 295 of the Schwartz edition. And it says, he speaks about the spring, that the water flows. Ken gaba boyis ala shemoy. Same thing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Same thing with God. Since we prove that he doesn't have a body, he's not corporal. So therefore, it must be that what? The world comes from this shefa, this flow of thoughts from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, basically, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives rise to these thoughts. Ken omrim shu hashpia as chokhbas on aviyim. In the same way, that's how he brings thoughts, his wisdom to aviyim. Ha'inu kulu yashpuso elim pololo shomish enu guf. V'hu asher polom koyin. Look, what you can think about, you can speak about God thinking. Rambam says his seichel, God's intellect is his essence. He says it in chapter 69, we spoke about that. So, 68, 69, both places. So you can think about God thinking. God thinking is permitted, because that's not a corporal act. God produces thoughts, and these thoughts come along, and what do? They eventually create the world. They create the world. In other words, these thoughts create the world, because there's a sort of like a process by which the thoughts turn into spheres, into intellects, and create the world. That's the act of creation. So God is, basically, the act of creation is God is thinking, and the thoughts go and create the world. And these same thoughts the Rambam brings in are what reach the Nevi'im. Now, it's very, very interesting. If this is true, then what do we say? And essentially the Rambam says, the Kain Omim Shu Hishpi as Chobal Nevi'im. The way God creates the world is also the way He brings His thoughts, He's a Mashpia, He brings His flow, the flow of His wisdom to the prophets. That's what the Rambam makes a connection over here. So we see something very interesting. When a prophet, what are the thoughts of God? The thoughts of God are actually acts of God. They're creations of God. So the process of creation, according to the Rambam, are really thoughts. So what's the Navi doing? When the Navi prophesies, what's he doing? He's describing acts of God. A Navi describes acts of God. God's Chacha, which comes to the Navi, he's describing acts of God. So therefore, prophecy, by definition, does not violate negative theology because the prophet is describing acts of God. These are the thoughts. So God, that's what the prophet is doing. He's describing the thoughts of God. In more detail, the active intellect of God. That's what the prophet is doing. Okay, very good. Now, given that, we see that what the Rambam has done is he's actually pictured, he's created Nevuah as being a type of description of God's creation. Except it's not God's physical creation, but it's God's thoughts, His mental creations, His intellect. Okay, now we can make the connection to tefillah, to prayer. Why? Because when a person reads the Torah, reads the Chumash, reads Nach, Nevi'im, or reads the liturgy, the Nusach of the tefillah, which comes from the Ashkenazi Rambam, which according to the Maimonides, the Rambam is prophetically based, what he's doing is, he's reading descriptions of God's creation. God's thoughts. That's what he's doing. And to close the circuit, that's what the Rambam says at the end, towards the end of the third section of the Mirna Vukim, chapter 51, which is Perek Nun Aleph of Chelek Gimel. That's page 658 in the Schwartz edition. Says the Rambam, speaking about prayer, tefillah. Says the Rambam, the last paragraph of the Shavuot edition, page 658. HaTorah Yavhira, the Torah has made it clear, Sha'avayda achreina azoi shi'isabna sumas alev, eleh, preparing zeh, lo tia ela achreya saga. The avoida of man, man's worship of God, can only come after a saga, after he intellectually can actually apprehend something intellectually. Hu Omar, it says, Le'avas Hashem Elokecha, le'avdu b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, says in Devarim, to love God and to serve Him. And u'kavar hivhanu kama pa'amim sha'ava l'fi midas ha'asaga. Love of God is actually in accordance with apprehension. The Rambam says, kama pa'amim, I don't know where the Mirna Vukim says it, but he says in the Mishnah Torah. He says kama pa'amim because he says it twice in the Mishnah Torah. In Perek Beis, and also of Yuseri HaTorah and Perek Yod. Which is interesting. What is the Rambam doing? The Rambam is drawing a parallelism between man's apprehension of the world, the wisdom of the world, which generates a love of God, and between the act of tefillah, the act of prayer. Says the Rambam, Achrei ha'ava oiso avoda shegam hiro v'ovul zu avoda shebalev. This is service of the heart, v'hila deity, hafalas ha'machshava, ala muskal ha'rishin, v'izbaitadus l'shem zoyis b'mila yechoydet. In other words, when a person, what is prayer, avodah shebalev, worship of the heart? Actually, it says heart, but the Rambam learns heart to be the intellect, really, in a certain sense. Hila deity, it is, in my opinion, says the Rambam, hafalas ha'machshava. A person is the act of thinking. On muskal adishin would be on the first intellect, the primary intellects, and focusing on this. In other words, according to the Rambam, prayer is an act of focusing one's intellect al hamuskal adishin, on the most primary intellectual, or the most primary thoughts, and this brings about a love of God, a love of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this is tefillah. Basically, how does this happen? The Rambam goes on in chapter 51, it's page 660 in the Schwartz edition, Perek Nun Aleph Chelek Gimel, chapter 51 of section 3, and the Rambam speaks about Kriya Shema. Right? He speaks how to do Kriya Shema, supposed to focus on the words, take all the thoughts out of your head. In other words, what is prayer for the Rambam? When a person prays, he focuses, he contemplates, he meditates upon the words of the liturgy. Just like when a person meditates upon the wisdom of the world. He meditates upon the words of the liturgy with descriptions of thoughts of God. And this is the act of prayer. Prayer for Maimonides is none other than man meditating and contemplating the acts of God, which are God's thoughts, which are expressed in the Nusach HaTefillah liturgy of the prayer. That's what prayer is for the Rambam. And that brings, swells up man's love of God. And that, in other words, a person worships God the way he, in a way in which he, a person's worship of God is basically an act of intellectual apprehension. Except he's not intellectually apprehending the physical world, he's apprehending God's thoughts as expressed in the prophecy and in liturgy, which is prophetically based. That's the Rambam's opinion. Okay, so now, that's very good.
Is it a different kind of... love of God comes through...
This brings about a love of God.
But in Sunday Torah, when he talks about love of God, he is talking about investigating, learning about the natural world.
Okay,
not meditating on it, it's like...
Well, it might be, no, I'm not sure. It doesn't speak about learning about it. He says he's contemplating the wisdom of the world.
I understand, but to do
and
that,
the emphasis is the... Okay, fine. Okay, so I guess you have to learn the Perush HaMilah.
Well, but learning Perush Tefillah is not... That itself is not a vote.
No, the act of prayer, right, the act of prayer. But it's the same thing, it's called Havata Machshava. In other words, basically the Rambam speaks about, letting... In other words... triggering thoughts.
I mean, what am I supposed to think about when I pray?
I think, halakhically, when you're supposed to focus all of your thoughts, here's the common sense, right? When you pray, you should very, very much take all the thoughts out of your heart, right? Kashez yishtarz b'meshach kufa, yishtarz b'chol zoshen akorim b'chol divrei nevi'im, b'chol abrachas, mitkavei mitbonei, kandaplei, b'mashach tamavata, what you're saying, I guess Pekka Shabina, what you're expressing, L'sim lev ma'amash v'asso, and think about what its meaning is. In other words, a person is supposed to actually, I guess a person will study, kashiz dach l'cha ma'isim elu, when these acts are purified, shel avodas Hashem, u'machshavascha, your thought, tiyah b'shah asiyasam nekiyah from hiru, and therefore you focus solely on this, right? So therefore, that's prayer, that's avodas HaTefillah, that's the service of prayer. So in other words, prayer for the Rambam is basically contemplating deeply the thoughts of God, which are in fact the basis of the Nusach HaTefillah, the liturgy of the prayer, as well as the Tanakh, the Torah. That's how you pray. So it's not a violation of negative theology. Why not? Because negative theology says I'm allowed to describe acts of God. But it's interesting. You don't pray directly to God. You can't pray directly to God. You have to focus on the liturgy, which is the thoughts of God, and I guess, in some way, this is called praying directly to God. I don't know if someone's called praying directly to God. In other words, you can't pray directly to God. It's impossible. You can't describe God. But you can contemplate on the thoughts of God. Now, what does that do? That must do something. God listens to your prayer. So maybe your thoughts go up, and God helps you. But you don't pray directly to God. You pray, you focus, you contemplate the liturgy of the tefillah, of the prayer, and that's Fine. It's a negative theology. That's describing, you're focusing, you're contemplating the description of God's thoughts, which are like God's acts, and that's the act of prayer. Now, I want to claim that, in other words, in prayer, I don't want to call it an intermediate. But what is it?
Well, he's not saying that you pray to
it. You don't pray to it, but you focus on something. You focus on something, and then somehow you trigger a process, which is called praying towards God. But you don't focus your thoughts directly on God. You can't. Okay, now, what I want to do is I want to open up the Nefesh HaChayim. I'm bringing up this for us, because this is the... The Litvish is the closest to the Rambam. But as you show something, the Balat Tanya and the Tzabach Tzedek say the same thing. And now he describes prayer. Now, prayer, he devotes Shabbat days to prayer. Now, first he speaks about, in Parak Beis, he speaks about Bracha. What Bracha means. Is that right? It's a flow. Okay? Now, in my edition of Pesach Chayim, for some reason I seem to always use this. This is from Yisachar Dov Rubin, Bnei Brak Tavshin Memtaz. I don't know why you... I don't know. And it's the brown... I like it better. Al Nam'in HaBachalai Zbach Shemai. This is in Paradise, of Shar Beis. Ein HaKavar Liatmos HaDon Yochid Baruch Kiv Yochal. The kavana, your intention, your focus, is not to God in of himself. Chalila v'chalila. Because God is beyond every bracha. God transcends the kutcha brichu sasim v'galya. Atmos ein so brachu sasim b'kol stimen. He can't even call havaya. He can't even call him ein sof, he says. He can't call him anything. Sounds like negative theology. So, your kavanah is not to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what is prayer? But on the other hand, though, I mean, the Reb Chaim Volozhin is Chas V'Shalom not going to argue on the what? On the Igbal Ikra, I'm sure not. So I want to see, let's look at the Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet, he speaks about these two aspects of God, God in of himself, God's relation to the world. Okay? So in Perek Dalet, Chaim Volozhin says, "V'taymo shel davar shenichla b'chol bracha shnei b'chinas hanal." These two aspects in every bracha. Ki yisai pinas emunasina akadosha. The yisai, the foundation of our holy faith emunasina. Shekol magamas kavanas libenu. The purpose of the intention of our hearts and all the brachas is rakli achidish al oilam adon yochid ein sof baruch hu. That's the purpose of our intention. Omnam, however, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, lo she'anu b'davim elav ki yoch atzbusa, we're not speaking about atzbusa. B'chiyas is because his mufshen is completely right. Right? But rather, he goes on and going further, Daf Kuf Gimel, Ela Shekol Kavanas Libeinu, our intention of our hearts in the brachas, is the Atzmus Mitzadis Chabusoi Eloi Lamas, and he interconnects with the world. And then you can have all the descriptions of God. Now, interesting. The purpose of our Kavana, the purpose of our focus, is in God in and of himself. That's the purpose of our focus. The purpose of our intention, kavana. But our kavana is to God as he interacts with the world, which means all of the worlds, all the Kabbalistic worlds, Atzilus, whatever, we focus our attention. The Ein Sof and the Pashuk in the spheres. Now, what's the Chaim Volozhin thing? He said very interesting. He said like this. When you pray, when you daven, your kavana is on the words which correspond to the spiritual worlds. But the purpose of your intention is to God in and of himself. So really, actively speaking, when I daven, I focus on the spiritual worlds. Like that somehow, I should somehow have to believe. I believe that really what? That really, the purpose of this is all to the God who of course is, cannot be described. Which means, is that what Chaim Volozhin is saying, in my opinion, is the same thing that the Rambam is saying. That's the way we describe the Rambam. It is true that the principle of faith is that the prayers are directed to God in and of himself. But the act of prayer focuses on, I don't call it intermediate, but focuses on a text or a world. Something which connects, which is man-related. So, I think this has caused a lot of confusion. Because, it's very interesting, actually, if those of you who have read Hilchos Tefillah the Rambam, the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the famous two dinner tefillah, Dalafne Miata Oimet, and Perish Amilim. I'm not sure if Chaim is thinking like this, but those two aspects of tefillah, a prayer, are actually what I'm speaking about here. A person has to know to whom he's praying to, but then when you commence to pray, you don't pray to that. You pray, you focus on the meaning of the words. So, I have to commence with knowing that ultimately, I direct my prayer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in of himself. But in the act of prayer, my meditation, my focus is on what? Not the God in of himself, but to God, to either acts of God, according to the Rambam, God's thoughts, or to the spiritual world.
What does the Purusha mean about Baruch Atah mean then?
What?
What do you mean when you say Baruch Atah Hashem? If you're not referring to Hashem directly, referring to the acts of
God. No. According to the Rambam, no. The Purusha mean is definitely not, because you can't speak about God as being both. By definition, the Rambam says it. And by the way, you should know something. The same Lashon Chayim Lashon is also the Tzedek Tzedek too. I didn't bring him tonight because it's too much.
Yeah, the Chabad, they consider
that
they took a lot of his
Torah from Tzedek Tzedek. Not only that, actually, Parag Bez is, well, I'm not sure who was first or last.
His son was in...
No, Chayim Lashon was before the Tzedek Tzedek, but you should know something. But you know something, you should know something, it's about the same Lashon.
His son was in correspondence with one of the Chabad. Maybe the
Baal
Tani son of the
Tzalat Tzalat? No, I think it was his grandson. His grandson. It was after Chaim Volozhin. But there's no question.
They say that he saw a lot of the...
It could possibly be. It's Hainohach. Hainohach. There's no difference. If I gave a shit to Tzalat Tzalat, you wouldn't recognize it. He also saw some. The Galilee is the same type of Torah. But in any case...
So the Perush Amidim of Baruch Hashem is the acts of God then. You're not
afraid. That's right. Or the spiritual world. Whatever it is. But certainly it's not God of himself. That's for sure not.
You would have thought.
Right.
Says in the
Baruch,
or
Baruch Days,
the Baruch.
Yeah, Baruch is a flow, this and that, and I'm a sack in the world. Right, in other words. So don't call it an intermediate. But the bottom line is, it's a type of intermediate. I won't call it intermediate. It's a different, but in other words, so what's the fifth principle of the Rambam? It's not an operational principle of prayer. A person should have in his mind that his prayer is going to God, but in the act of prayer itself, he's focusing on something else. The liturgy of the prayer, the spiritual worlds of the prayer, priori, post-ari. That's what you're doing. By the way, Derech Agav, you should know something, the same thing as the Ramban Ola Teira. Ramban Ola Teira, the Nevuah Special Ben Ramban says several times, is Bechinas Yud Kei Vav Kei. But I think in Yisrael, in Perek Yotes Pasuk Chav, the Ramban says there that Moshe Rabbeinu heard seven koilas, seven voices of Matan Torah, and he reflected, he was misboinen, and he meditated on his seven koilas. What is seven koilas? To Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is not seven koilas, but the answer is, he reflected upon this, and Memela, I guess, that's called Yud Kei Vav Kei. But what I want to say is that, in other words, it's clear that the point of, in other words, the For sure, the Rambam is not speaking about spiritual worlds. Even though you should know something, once you speak about God's thoughts, right, I'm not sure that's not the same thing as spiritual world. But let's assume that Rambam certainly didn't have that in mind. But it doesn't make a difference. Because we see that there's a dichotomy, I don't call it a reducible dichotomy, between God of himself and God who relates to man. And the Rambam is God's acts and God of himself. This God says b'schaber, he relates to the world, a God of himself. And prayer, even though we're aware of the fact initially that ultimately the purpose of our kavod, the purpose of our meditation is what? God and of himself. But we meditate not on God and of himself, but you can't do that. But you meditate upon God as the intermediate, God as he connects with the world, which is something totally different. That's with the Nefesh HaChaim and the Rambam. So, what I want to say is that I'm not sure if, conceptually speaking, prayer for the Rambam was that much different than prayer for the Mekubalim. And that's the invariance principle. If we understand fundamentally what the Rambam meant by prayer, then really the two ideas are not that much different, except that substituting the thoughts of God, which are the thought acts of God which are expressed by the Nevi'im, we substitute for that the spiritual worlds of the Mekubalim. But who's to say that anything is different?
The nature and the content of the prayer would be different. I mean, Rambam would be a rational prayer where you have comprehension and understanding.
Or the words of the tefillah. But since what was the tefillah?
But of concepts of God's acts, of creation.
But I'm not sure.
The mystics would be like some Kabbalistic equation. You don't have to have any understanding of what it is, rather to understanding how they connect or how they...
Okay, fine, but I'm focusing on the word. No, but the Rambam's not supposed to really focus deeply upon the meanings of the words. What are the words? I mean, I could say the words are also worlds. What's a world? It's all the same thing, whether it means chesed, whether it means chok b'bina v'das, or chok b'bina v'das, whatever it is, or whether it means, you know, whatever the Rambam is doing. I mean, a sphere is also a midah. In other words, there is a distinction, but I think that the ideas are saying, in other words, the yisayin hachamishi, which is the knowledge that ultimately the prayer is ultimately going to God and of himself, has to be separated from the methodology of prayer. Which means that all description, all the discussion that after the Rambam, there's a whole question about, you know, Tesis and Shabbos mentioned the prayer is going to Malachim, or for example the Nusach of the Slichas, Malachi Ashores, right? There is discussion in the Pesukim on this. But I'm not sure, right, that there's a real theological break. I want to say more. In other words, I'm not sure that theologically, if I say Malachi Asharis, right, at least I know that the prayers ultimately are going to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm not sure that all the discussion, all the things that the scholars make to do, that after the Rambam there's really Avodah Zarah, in Judaism, Rambam called Avodah Zarah, I'm not sure that's true. Because as long as I'm aware of the fact that ultimately prayers go to God, the vehicle, which is the methodology of prayer, right, at least directly, right, is not God of himself. No, there is discussion. The Chassam Sefer speaks about it, the Maral speaks about it. I'm not denying the discussion of this. But I'm not sure that the theological divide is as deep as people like to think it is. That's what I want to claim over here. And you can look at Professor Shapiro's books. He makes a lot to do about this. And with due respect, I'm not denying the fact that there was machlokes discussion. Some people say it, some people don't say it. But the fact is, I'm not sure anyone was calling anyone apikairos. Because the fact is, I'm not sure that there's not that much of a distinction. As long as I acknowledge the fact that there's a God in of himself to whom somehow the prayers are being directed, even though the methodology might involve malachim. That's what I'm saying.
When you draw the line then, if I say I'm going to pray to the sun, the sun is just an emanation.
Yeah, but no one's praying to the sun.
No, I'm saying conceptually speaking.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Where's the
that's what I'm saying.
This is already.
No, so everybody's saying a prank to God. The question is, the Mechlet Tefillah might involve a Malach bringing the prayer to God, which might be the same thing as the world, which might be the same thing as actually the thoughts of a what's a good
why
man.
Why isn't that the Tav Skadol in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah?
What?
Why, how's that different than the Tav Skadol in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah?
Because, once again, I think what the Rambam means is that the ultimate place where we direct the thoughts are to the Bashasim, God's servants. That's what the Rambam meant.
In the first stage over there, they were...
No, they knew that God created the world, but they felt that I could ultimately direct the prayers toward these things.
Who would bring them to God?
No, I'm not sure about that.
The latest stage one is that the
latest stage one was, I know ultimately, in other words, God wants me to pray to these things. I'm going to direct all my prayer to these things. There's no mention of God. I know that there's a God. I know that they're not the highest things. But in the act of prayer, they're the ultimate acts of prayer. After that, I don't believe in God at all. Anyway, that's how we understand it. That is the end of here. Okay, so in other words, we have here, what I think is that by properly understanding is that the Rambam had to somehow deal with the issue of prayer. I'm not sure, it could possibly be that when man is mafil's machshava, activates his intellect, maybe God's thoughts go to God, man's thoughts go to God too, because after all, God responds to prayer. So man's thoughts, which he's activating by focusing and meditating upon the liturgy of God's thoughts, there's also thoughts going on. Balachim are thoughts too. In other words, there are differences, but are the differences really so black and white? Or very subtle? I think it was ultimately, in other words, the question here is, the question is a question of language, but the process, the Bechlali process is the same thing. That's my contention. Now, of course, this all is based upon the fact you have to accept what, the shtickel Torah, this what I said in the mind of the God. But I think my sources are pretty clear. If you're interested in it, you should look at the Rishima article in the first volume. There I speak about, I forget the name of the article, but there I speak about prayer. Okay.
That doesn't hold true any longer after Kabbalah became what Hasidus is now. It didn't really become what Hasidim did with Kabbalah, because they departed. It's not an intellectual exercise anymore. It's more an experiential.
Okay, that's a different right. But if we speak about kavanas of Kabbalistic kavanas, right, that's really the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if a person does the kavanas of the Ari or the Rasha, she's focusing upon the names of God or different Whatever it is, anyway, that's something is that's Hasidic prayer. Certainly, Hasidim are using it. They're invoking a lot of ecstasy, which I know the Rambam was into ecstasy. He speaks about Ava, but Ava is there's a much more of an emotional element.
Transcending the intellectual ecstasy.
Okay, fine. There's an emotional element, but I'm saying is that the fact is that the words the connection, the spiritual connection is the spiritual worlds, which a person contemplates. From that, he goes into ecstasy. Okay. I'm not saying there's differences. There are differences. But in terms of...
For Hasidus, the problem is... the reason Kabbalah is not enough in Hasidus is because it basically amounts to another intellectual ecstasy.
Right. Fine. But in other words, that's for sure. The Rambam does speak about emotion. But all I'm saying is that, in other words, if I describe intellectually what's going on, theologically what's going on, I'm not sure it's any different.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. My claim is not any different. Okay, fine. Now, I wanted to mention just one more thing about the fifth yesod. It's interesting. The Rambam says, "Hu asar l'avodah zarah, v'roiv haTorah maseres aleihu." So first of all, you say that shlishi, the Rambam didn't say that. In other words, Yisera Chamishi calls it Azhar Avodah Zarah. Because prayer, this will be, Avodah Zarah is actually a worship of idols. In other words, Yisera Shlishi is a theology. Yisera Chamishi is Avodah Zarah, it's idolatry, because it's an act of worship. This raises an interesting question for the Rambam. Even though the Rambam does call a person who violates Yisera Shlishi, calls him a min, but it's interesting is that these are in Hilchos Tshuva. halachas of avodah zarah. But it's being about avodah zarah in terms of the halachas of avodah zarah. Then I think that what comes from avodah zarah is not necessarily a theological concept of God, which is not less than monotheistic than would be desired, but an act of worship. That's an important thing. In other words, for the Rambam, it's interesting, in the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, in the first chedek, he criticizes Islam, Islam's theory of modes. That being, the Rambam says, is not any better than the Christianity theory of the Trinity. But the Rambam did not consider Islam to be avodah zarah, to be idolatry. Which is an interesting question that I don't think, that this is actually more of a halachic discussion, is how much is theology, right, a factor in what we call avodah zarah? That's an important matter. Now, the Rambam says, V'roi v'tere bas heres aler. Right, the Rambam says it several times, that Ikot teres bas shemir is connected to avodah zarah. The Rambam, in my opinion, V'roi v'tere bas heres aler, is what I think the Rambam here is alluding to, is really the section of Tamei HaMitzvahs in Chelek Shlishi, the third Chelek of the Mor Nevuchim. There the Rambam says that most of the Torah, most of the liturgy and ritual of the Torah, actually are rooted in idolatrous practices, which Kodesh Baruch Hu directed towards monotheism. So Rav HaTorah Muzheres Aleha means, is in fact actually, most of the Torah is concerned with directing what was the former means of worship of man, which were idolatrous, towards the worship of the true God. So Rav HaTorah Muzheres Aleha means, I think, is a reference here to the Rambam's Talmud Mitzvahs, which consists of many chapters. If you're interested, I refer you to the ishkafashekel.com lectures on the Talmud Mitzvahs. Okay, this, in my opinion, concludes the Yisrael HaMishi. There's many other details here, too, but I think we've worked out the basic understanding of the Rambam in terms of prayer and, you know, prayer in Jewish history. And Yitzhak Hashem, beginning next week, we will, Yitzhak Hashem, go on to the Yisrael HaShishi, which is Nevu, we spoke about Nevu today, and then to that Yisrael HaShvi, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. Until then, from an undisclosed place, Yerushalayim HaKodesh, have a nice week. Kol Tov.